this whole thing was just a reminder that unfortunately Twitter is still the best posting app, because I went over to Blue Sky and it was the first thing I saw was like, this is the best battle since Hamilton. And I'm like, I'm no, bye.
Are you fucking kidding
me? You're in 7 days time out, Blue Sky.
No.
Not going back to you for a while.
Twitter's gifted program remains in quarantine until further notice.
Yeah. There's just certain cultural events where Blue Sky just does not bring it. Nope.
Yeah. My thought was, by the way, that Dabo is the funniest one to accuse of getting a BBL. Just because, holy crap, the idea of that man with a gigantic donk trying to waddle down the hill, the majesty, the absolute majesty of all that.
Wouldn't it be funny if it was a big dude? Like, what about Hypel?
Well, I didn't feel confident in pants.
I have my answer. It's Mark Stoops. Do you see it? Do you already see where I'm going with this? We're talking BB and BBL.
There it is.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like it. Just Mark being like, yeah, back it up. Back it up. Ah!
Meanwhile, here comes Dabo back in. I got a BBL, a Bible by the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what? They told me not to sit down for a while, and they're right, because I need to be kneeling. Penitent before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Also, because I can't sit, because I got a massive piece of plastic surgery done on my hindquarters. The Shutdown Full Cast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. I am joined, as always, by Jason Kirk.
Hi.
Ryan Nanny, who will be joining us in a second. I ain't lying. He will be along. Holly Anderson, and on the ones and twos, Michael Ray Sarver. You cannot see, but Michael Ray has got a pair of, are these Oakleys?
Can we screen cap this? He looks sick.
Yeah, you look awesome.
These are my Darlington wraparounds. It is Darlington week. We're throwing it back to when wraparounds were cool.
I think, listen, if we're talking about Darlington and NASCAR, wraparounds are always cool.
This is also my Jim Keltner hat, and he is the greatest drummer of any of all recordings of the 1970s and 1980s.
I mean, he was the drummer for the Traveling Wilburys, so he must be the greatest drummer ever.
Mm-hmm.
But yes,
I love Server's case there. A nod and an mm-hmm. Say no more.
When you got wraparounds on, that's like a plus 10 multiplier on the mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a damn soliloquy right there.
Yeah, it could be like, hey man, Ernie Irvin, that's an underrated driver right there. Michael be like, mm-hmm.
Yep.
Count it.
Yeah, count it, brother.
Spencer, speaking of racing, how was Miami? Are we allowed to say which no-account member of the Avengers tried to big-time y'all?
We can 100% say that. So I was at the Miami Grand Prix. What you need to know is that in the paddock, of course, there are celebrities who come back and forth. Some of them are actual racing fans, people who are interested and knowledgeable. The example that I really enjoy using is Patrick Dempsey. Patrick Dempsey is like a longtime race fan who's really knowledgeable and has driven himself. He knows his shit. He's like, do not mess with him. He understands exactly what he's doing, and he loves to talk ball. So that's a very cool thing when you're doing like a little celebrity thing. Is you go, hey, Dr. McDreamy, not only are you handsome and you smell like a fine luggage shop, like the sexiest luggage shop in the world, because he does.
Didn't he also compliment your beard?
He did. I'm a little biased. You know, he had me in my feelings. You know, he was like, hey, man. Your beard looks fantastic. I was like, thank you.
Dr. McBeardy over here.
Uh-huh. But he knows his shit. So like, that's cool. And then there are people who are just there and don't know their ass from a hole in the ground when it comes to racing, which is awesome. And then there's Anthony Mackie. I'm just going to come out and say that because Gary went ahead and posted about this. So Gary Streisky went ahead and posted about Anthony Mackie being...
Gary Streisky, an angel.
Gary Streisky, who like, it's not
this is possible. Like someone, this is like someone being mean to Ryan.
You know what? If this is the thing that actually makes it different than being mean to Ryan. Gary wants you to come over and be like, hey, man, you're awesome. And Gary's going to be like, hey, man, you're awesome. And that's like, that's his MO. That's the best thing in the day is when he comes in and he's like, hey, bro, everything's good. We're good. Total vibes based guy.
But like, he's a genuinely nice person.
Correct. Correct. So what he did is he got his phone out because he likes to ask people about their watches because he's a watch guy. And he got his phone out and Anthony Mackie is within like 20 yards.
Also, again, this is all taking place on a television set.
Correct.
On a visible television set, F1 famously high security, where if you're not with ESPN, with a racing team or a legit celebrity, you can't get in.
Yeah. Like
there's no paparazzi inside here.
You have a badge and you scan it and a terrible picture of you comes up on a little screen. Right. Like, hey, we have matched this badge to you and it's behind. It's the second like stanchion that you had to go through, the second gate you had to go through. Anyway, so Gary is pulling his phone out and he is not going to talk to Anthony Mackie, who Gary does not know is in his orbit. And then from like distance away, you hear, no, 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 no. Anthony Mackie thinks we're pulling a phone out. In a paddock where like Keke Palmer has just walked by.
Surrounded by people with actual television cameras and actual famous people.
And actually really super famous people, you know, have gone by. And racers like Lewis Hamilton just went by on a scooter. You might have gotten your phone out to take a picture of him. You might have gotten your phone out to take a picture of program darling Yuki Tsunoda, the greatest driver in the world. No, Anthony Mackie thinks that you're getting a phone out to take a picture of him. He's which like, no.
Or second of all, this is like going to Sundance and screaming no pictures. Like you're there for a fucking reason.
Yeah.
You're not famous enough to be this mad.
You know, I respect Anthony Mackie's private, like right to not interact with people in public. And nobody actually asked to interact with him in public. He's just being a dick.
But anyway, so, not a problem. What did Gary say?
And Gary was like, bro. Gary was like, bro, I am not trying to take a picture of you. Gary was taken aback because it had nothing to do with him. Yes. So other than that, other than Anthony Mackie being a complete dickhead, it was fine.
That was some real Hawkeye behavior.
You know what? It is real Hawkeye behavior.
Like, because I could see Jeremy Renner pulling that shit.
Jeremy Renner, sure. Hawkeye's fine. I'll defend Hawkeye himself.
The worst Avenger.
By design, that's the whole point. Is there a chance that Anthony Mackie is just constantly yelling this independent of his surroundings, his settings, like regardless of whether there are cameras around, just a person?
No.
A person who, yeah, just like allergic to being perceived.
Are you saying that this is the actor who, if he does not have a camera on him, is like just, he's the philosopher who walks around saying no to the universe?
Like, what if for all of his roles they have to like trick him into performing, because you know they have to disguise the camera, sort of the opposite of like how you get a child to look at a camera, dangle a toy in front of it. Like they have to actually shield the camera so he does not believe he's being perceived. At which point he will then begin acting.
I think that's a possibility. He could be like a parrot. Maybe if you just put Anthony Mackie in a dark room and say goodnight, he's like, oh, it's nighttime. Like he's that like, yeah, I don't know. He's just
also
a weird
you guys
dude.
Are real professionals because I would have followed him around for the rest of the day yelling on your left.
I'd be doing it in French so I could throw them off my trail. Gosh!
I'm just offended because this happened to Gary, man. This is like yelling at a Precious Moments doll.
Yeah, but yeah, it's very Miami. You go
now
there.
We have Avengers
and,
beef, so that's cool.
Yeah, we have Avengers beef. It's a very Miami thing. I got to hang out and do work with cool people. That's always nice. But you go there and you insist that, you know, you're like, oh man, like, hey, listen, this place isn't that bad. It's not that scammy. And you're like, I don't buy it. And then you come home and I just read this like New York Mag intelligencer piece about a University of Miami undergrad who had a multi-million dollar return scam running and was like living the Instagram life, right? Like, hey, king of the desert, I'm in Dubai again. And he's like scamming UPS for returns with a staff of 8 as an undergrad.
I could stand to scam UPS right now.
What I'm saying is, it's all about the you. It's all about the you.
Let's just list people and things that we are feuding with this week. Because I got a UPS feud. I have a UPS feud.
What is your feud with UPS?
Well, first of all, in defiance of what I understand to be package delivery, they tend to leave my packages on the street in front of my driveway rather than anywhere near my house. Like they just kind of gently roll them out the truck sometimes. Sometimes it's like they drop kick them out the truck. And this past week was one of those times when friend of the program, Gurgling Cobb, sent 2 giant jars to my house of his homemade chili crisp, which is a substance very close to God. And I've never seen a package that had looked so much like it had been drop kicked off the side of a truck, because I had never seen a package that had a visible puncture wound directly through the bright red fragile sticker on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looks like the box has been shot.
Okay, so what you're saying is
the giant glass jar of chili crisp inside did not fare well through this action.
Jason, do you have an active feud?
Let's see here. Not that I can think of. So my feud is against the concept of competition itself. How about that? I'm at war with war. Something wow. like that, I guess. I don't know. No, I don't have a feud. Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. I have a feud. I have several, but my primary one is a lifelong one, which is I am at war with inanimate objects.
All of them?
All of them. They're all on. They're all
waiting.
There's
so many of them right behind you. Don't look now.
They're all waiting to turn on you at any point.
No, that they can't.
Yeah, they can't. I'm telling you.
That's kind of the whole deal.
To turn them.
Yeah, but they're going to at one point. They will turn. They will turn on you. This is
like Toy Story is real. Is what you're saying?
Yeah, they will.
And evil, evil. You live in evil Toy Story.
I live in evil Toy Story. I live in a world where, when you stub your toe, it's never going to care. Stupid fucking table. Never. I live in a world where, when something won't fit or when an object is tangled up with another object, it's not going to help. Fuck that thing. Absolutely hate that thing. If there are one too many objects in a room, I look at it and I'm like, we're fighting. You and me. The inanimate object. It's my big problem with gifts. Someone gave me another inanimate object. What am I going to do with it?
Apparently injure yourself on it.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to injure myself on it. It's just, it's an attack waiting to happen. Is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's
this
it.
This is very Buddhist.
It is. It is. Like objects are the enemy.
Objects are suffering.
Yeah. People, that's a hit or miss thing. Objects generally there to cause trouble.
By way of being acted upon.
Yes. Or simply by just being their kind of like indifferent, stupid selves.
Yeah. By being too much of themselves.
Being no help. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So inanimate objects.
So what if you had some sort of a machine that just made all the stuff in your vicinity move? Do you want to be Magneto? Is that what you're saying?
So Magneto is like one of my, like, if you were going to be a hero, it would be great to be either Magneto or Dr. Doom. You know, Dr. Doom can basically just transmogrify matter in any matter he wants.
Sure, and Doom can do anything.
Yeah, Doom can do anything, man. Doom's the only guy in the comic book universe who is generally thought of to be an adept manager. Right? Like if Dr. Doom is running your neighborhood Jamba Juice, that place is really, really, it's on it, right? They're like, man, that guy Victor down at Jamba Juice keeps that place fucking humming.
Yeah, it's going to be like crazy exploitative and he's going to be super manipulative and he's got some horrendous scheme and he's probably managed to involve like the devil in some way or something, but the orders will be rapid.
The orders are going to be rapid. They're going to be accurate. You're just going to end up with, it'll be the best customer experience of your life. And also potentially a satanic, you know, deal for the nature of reality.
He would only employ Doombots as his staff. So that part's good. You're getting nothing top of the line customer service. That much is certain.
What do you not understand about lowering labor costs?
Just like a job interview with Dr. Doom. There's zero chance you're going to impress that guy because you're not him. That's it.
Dr. Doom's always believed in AI. And by that, I mean artificial indentured servants.
It means another I, right?
Yes. Doom. Yeah. So like that's mine. Serber, do you have a lifelong feud?
Oh, it's lifelong? I thought it was just right.
I don't want to say I have a lifelong feud against UPS. I'm sure most of the people there work hard.
Yeah.
I just have a feud with this specific one who kicked my chili crisp.
I'm in a pretty constant feud with Hartzell. Literally everything he says I disagree with.
That's fair.
I hate the way he walks. I hate the way he talks.
Mm-hmm.
Hartzell. Yeah, that's my feud.
What is the latest?
I drop a diss track each week.
What's the latest dust up?
I don't even remember. Here's just an example. Just an example of the type of fucking behavior that he participates in. We went and played golf last Friday, and now that
he deigned to play golf with you.
Yeah, but classes are done for me, and also Friday is his day off. And we were talking last week. We were like, yeah, Friday's the day now. We'll get out here every Friday. Exact words that came out of Hartzell's mouth. Me on Monday. Mm-hmm. Hey, bud, I'm going to book a Friday at this place. Who you want me to reach out to?
Did he blow you off again?
He's like, I'm already in a group this Friday. I'm looking at next Monday. And it's just like, that's the type of behavior that's like, okay, all right. Like everything he says is like, he makes
you. For those of you unfamiliar with the hand in the dirt, universe, this is not the first or even second time that Hartzell has done this.
Third, fourth, fifth, sixth. But that's just one example of like a thing that he's repeatedly done. There's other, you know, the choices he makes about his life in general, the things that he does out, you know, not just golf thing. Like he gets on my nerves, and I think it's because I like him so much, because he is so, you know, he is so fucking annoying. I like to complain. Felder and I both have talked about on the podcast how much joy we get out about complaining about stuff. And my friendship with Hartzell is really a great avenue for me to be able to complain as much as I want to, because he's always going to give me some form of ammunition to be mad and annoyed about.
So everybody's getting something out of it.
Yeah, I think so. It's a reciprocal relationship. And I think, honestly, he likes to... he likes to be wrong. Otherwise, he wouldn't make the decisions that he makes.
Mm-hmm.
I like that you're so like eyebrow deep in this. You cannot entertain the possibility that he would be correct about something and instead have attributed it to he's got a kink for being wrong.
Yeah, he's into that shit. Doesn't make sense to me, but therein lies my point.
I think it's kind of you to facilitate.
Ryan Nanny has joined us, and I wanted to go ahead and ask him. Ryan, what's your feud? Lifelong or not? What are you beefing with?
There are so many answers that I cannot put on a recording.
Oh no. No one listens. No, this is invisible. You no one can hear you. It's you can just go ahead and, you know, whisper it into the void.
Okay. Here's one I'll give you. Have this is not just for Spencer, but anybody here is welcome to answer this. Been in a medical setting where your doctor or whoever is like, oh, I'm bringing this like student or recent grad or whatever, like yep. I'm bringing them in the room to like learn about this process or like see this, like you are in some way like the textbook for the day. Have you had that experience?
Yep.
Yeah.
How do you feel when that happens?
I feel like I should get class credit too.
Okay. Okay.
I feel like I should get like a discount.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it should be like the cosmetology schools where the students cut your hair for like $11.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want a discount appendectomy.
Here's how I feel
about it. If there's a 26-year-old cutting me open.
How I feel about it is, boy, do I want to do a good job. Boy, do I want to be just the, like, the best model patient possible. And that's my feud. My feud is with the stupid part of my brain that is trapped in, like, fourth grade that is like, gotta get an A. Whatever you do, whatever you're doing, you gotta get an A at it. You gotta do your best. And that shouldn't be true when you go to the fucking dentist and they're like, yeah, we have a new hygienist here who's going to see how we use this tool. Like, I'm not being graded. I just happen to be there. But there's a stupid part of my brain that is like, oh, gotta do good. Gotta do good for teacher or else you'll feel bad about yourself. And it's so stupid. It's so fucking stupid.
Is there an avenue... possibly, let's work through this. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're gonna get through this. The next time this happens to you, maybe the affirmation that you try delivering to yourself in that moment is that the weirder you act, the better the more XP you are granting the student. Mm. The greater you increase the difficulty, the quicker they level up. Right.
Mm.
Sure.
So if you just really fuck around and start shouting and yelping in pain, the slightest touch.
Oh, do they always fart that much? No. No, they don't.
Can I suggest another strategy?
Yeah.
Which is to begin lying outrageously to him. Like, I found out that a football player did not, and it's NC State linebacker Peyton Wilson does not have an ACL.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not have an ACL.
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't have it. He just didn't have that part. Right? And I think you should start doing that. I think you should start telling whoever you're
working with. I should
start
losing body parts is what you're
saying? Say you don't have teeth.
You never had it. Right? Mm. Like when they go like, hey, we're going to listen to your heart. You should go, hey, look, it's only, I've got 6 ventricles.
That's okay. That's a lot. That's, you're going in the other direction now.
Yeah. You've got extras.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm built different.
I have, yeah. If
wrong.
If this is during one particular moment that your doctor will begin examining, you can be like, hey, listen, I've got 2 prostates. When you're rooting around up there.
Listen, gotta catch them all.
You never know when the power's gonna go out. You're gonna need backup prostate.
One just ain't enough for me anymore.
Guy would look at you and go, a second prostate? And you go, buddy, it's incredible.
It's aftermarket. I want to be clear. Warranty's voided on this whole thing now.
Yeah, that shit installed?
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's
AC Delco.
That's the feud I feel comfortable with. The feud of self. I'm comfortable sharing.
Most AC Delco auxiliary prostates.
I think because this is not going to be shocking based on what Holly has accused me of accurately on this show many times. I am a
what? How am I in trouble?
No. You're right, is what I'm saying here. I am a deep, deep hater, but I understand that I need, like, in lots of circumstances, I need to keep the hating internal or within closed quarters.
I have never said that.
You have said that I am the meanest one on the show.
That's a compliment.
Okay. I'm just saying it extends off the show as well.
I'm sorry. If at any time that did not emerge as a compliment, you're right. I apologize.
No, you're right. You're right.
Because that's not how I meant it.
I guess I mean the two are closely related. It's probably. I have a hater's heart.
There we go.
Which you should tell the medical trainee.
Yeah,
just so you know, I don't have any medical allergies, but I do have the heart of a hater and that a poster.
Bite you if you're not careful.
Why are we talking about feuds,
Drake? But also UPS. Yeah. UPS is trifling with me.
Okay, I thought maybe
I received. I received the most sarcastically damaged package that I've ever seen.
How can I don't mean to be rude. What makes a package sarcastically damaged?
So you know, things happen. You know, things get shipped through the mail and things get dropped. But I got a package that had a. I'll put a picture up of it that had an enormous puncture wound in the side of it, directly through the fragile sticker.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is good.
Like,
okay.
Like, yep. Oh, you wanted to ship this glass here, fucko. Kick, 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 kick,
yeah,
kick.
Yeah. That's like, we're filming Home Alone 7 some reason a package is a key part of it. Also, and we need to show that it's
the
been
sticker is
poorly.
Vinyl. It's not a paper sticker. It's not hard. It's not easy to punch through. And there's like a three-sided hole directly through the middle of the fragile sticker.
I mean, it really, like the picture that you showed me, it does look like it was going through the cafeteria at the prison and somebody was like, shake, shake, shake. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's summer. Major League Baseball's in full swing and there's one app for you if you want last minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little bit called The Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right. Even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute because GameTime.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
I thought maybe we were talking about feuds because of what I assume will be an ongoing feud between the 2024 class at Ohio State University and the people who organized commencement and decided to get.
I have this on my list of things to talk about.
A bunch of people sent this to me and I didn't look at it. What happened? If you send me a video, I probably won't watch it. I just need to tell everybody this.
Right. A couple of things have happened.
So let's source this first. This was originally reported. I saw it from Max Littman writing for The Rooster.
Correct.
Which has been taking the piss out of Ohio idiots for years now.
And involves the choice of commencement speaker for Ohio State's stadium graduation. Because they graduate a shitload of people who all got to listen to the philosophical musings of one businessman, entrepreneur, visionary, and ayahuasca enthusiast, Chris Pan. Described by one of his former coworkers when The Rooster asked them about what it was like to work with Chris Pan as the worst human I have ever known, I believe was the... Which, I have a former coworker who is the worst human I've ever known. Oh, so, like, yeah.
That's fine.
Wait, which one?
No, that would be current...
Oh yeah,
that's the worst human I've ever worked with.
Man, we had a real run of choices there for a minute. I could have picked from like five.
Spencer, you've misquoted this slightly. It's not a former coworker. It's somebody. It's an unnamed university source who said that working with Chris for the commencement process he is the worst person I have ever worked with.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't get it in the video chat, but I sent it to the group text. Please check your phones for the package in question. And just look at the state of the fragile sticker in particular.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like some sort of dinosaur just chomped right through the fragile sticker.
Which, by the way, rest of the box, pristine, directly over the fragile handle with care sticker. Mayhem.
That's deeply funny. So, Ohio State commencement. A couple of details that are important here. Ohio State
first
doesn't
of all,
pay.
Ohio State gets to have commencement.
So, Ohio State doesn't pay commencement speakers, which is, I guess, unusual or not how lots of schools do it.
Wait, that's, not even like an honorarium? Do they pay travel expenses?
They may, but I don't think it's like
that. Is weird.
It's not the same level, at least, of what they
you know
do.
What, bro? That's you know what? That's commitment, because that's more money we can put into the football program.
This dude, when Ohio State, which has like a committee of like students and faculty and whatever that picks the commencement speaker, when they reached out to him, they emailed him and he thought it was a prank and he did not respond. So they had to call him to follow up to be like, no, we want you to speak at commencement. That's red flag number one, I would say.
How did the students get this decision past the faculty?
Unclear. It's on to the me, committee. It's unclear like where this came from, because this is not like I looked him up and this dude has like, I don't know, 18,000 Instagram followers. He's not like, oh, he's specifically famous in this way. He has a bracelet company where you like pick a motivational word and they send you a bracelet with the word on it. He's done some other shit. He worked at McKinsey, for instance. So like, I'm not trying to completely no sell his life, which is a harsh way to put it. But like this, here's the important thing. At some point during the speech, he stopped and decided to extol the virtues of Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
And to talk it like he, a lot of the speech was about sort of like being open to new experiences and how like you grow through learning about new things in life and whatever. And there's a whole section in here about like how Bitcoin is misunderstood and needs to be something that people think about at graduation, at a commencement speech. This is happening. He did a magic trick with the school president. He tried to lead the crowd in two different songs. He was booed.
I'm not hearing a downside, at least in the last 10 seconds.
That's fucking cool.
According to
I mean,
the,
our graduation speaker was Howard Baker. Do you know how much I would have preferred a magician?
I'm reading an article now about how he like was like posting drafts of his speech on Instagram.
Yes.
I can't find those, but they're a write-up according to the songs. According to this, the songs were The Four Non-Blondes and This Little Light of
That's
Mine.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So that did make the final cut?
I believe yes. It did, yeah.
There's video of him singing What's Going On by Four Non-Blondes and trying to get the entire crowd to sing along. A good number of them are mostly, I can understand, out of sarcasm. Because at that point, I just shared a link if you want to hear the groan, the collective groan that the audience made when the word Bitcoin came out of his mouth. It's great. I have such hope for the future because this guy's talking
right.
And you can collectively hear tens of thousands of people go, what the fuck? And a few people who do what they should, which is hysterical laughter, knowing that you've now sailed clear into the bullshit zone and you are no longer responsible to treat this with any kind of respect or credulity. Yeah, it's great.
So the kids were singing along to this 31-year-old song?
Someone was singing along with it.
Yeah. It was
not many.
The song that its highest chart peaks were in like Norway.
Yeah, this was not Hang On Sloopy live at the Shoe. It was not that experience. No.
No. It's pretty like I think I don't know. At best, you hope that your commencement speaker will be like notable and or maybe funny or whatever.
He was. He was all of those, right?
I guess
he's notable.
You're right.
He's notable now.
You're right. You know what? You'll never. People won't forget this commencement. It also.
Nope.
People pointed out, like, oh, this is who. If you graduated this year from Ohio State, you were probably in the high school class of 2020, which meant you didn't have an in-person graduation for that. So this is what you got instead. Random bracelet man telling you to buy Bitcoin and trying to get you to sing This Little Light of Mine.
Bitcoin in 2024. Like, after the jig is unfathomably up.
Yeah. If you would like to know how cooked Twitter is generally, mm-hmm.
the video of everyone in the audience going, when the word Bitcoin comes up. The video, the comments underneath it are nothing but blue checks being like, they just took out six figures in student loans when they could be financially independent. And a bunch of people who are just like, higher, higher. And I'm like, oh, dude, it is so sweet how the number of hooks cannot possibly exceed the number of gaping mouths ever, ever.
Yeah. So I know this podcast is often very anti-Ohio State, but today I think we stand with the Ohio State students.
Listen,
who booed their own commencement speaker.
Yeah. Listen,
just as during the saga of Tequila Derrick, we were for about 10 minutes ardently pro-law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that we stand on the side of righteousness. Yeah, no matter who is wearing the shield.
Yeah.
Yeah, the kids are okay. That's what we're saying.
So this dude said he tried AI for help with his commencement speech, but then he tried.
But he said, did you see what he described AI as?
Well, after AI failed,
yeah,
he then tried HI, higher intelligence.
Right.
So apparently that is the good shit.
Just absolutely not.
Yeah, this guy also.
Very random songs that were popular in Sweden 30 years ago.
Yeah. Also, I believe this guy said that if you want to come hang out with him at like a mega church afterwards, like you are more than welcome to.
So this other Instagram post of his says it's been his life. Of him in Ohio State Stadium appears to be wearing a West Virginia shirt. Saying it's been his lifelong dream to create a secular spiritual experience, which I guess that was what that was. I guess that was his demonstration.
If you would like a secular
football, isn't that just
that's what I'm saying?
You're in the fucking football stadium. What do you think it's for?
I'm like, buddy, it's called a Big Ten football game. It's a different denomination, but that's what it is.
And like, you're the first person who thinks that, hey, what if you could have a spiritual experience without using the names of religious stuff? No fucking shit. like I'm 100,000 years ago when there were no words, people were having spiritual experiences. That was
the Warped Tour. You're talking about the Warped Tour.
The Warped Tour, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Five Iron Frenzy played Warped Tour, so not entirely, but.
I do think this means Spencer could be next year's commencement speaker in Columbus.
Yeah, why have we never been commencement speakers?
I don't want to. I won't do it.
I will tell you, I will do it for free.
I was the speaker at my own graduation, and I think I've already told the story of how that went, so I won't belabor it again. But we should make ourselves available for these as a group.
Will you talk about Bitcoin, Spencer?
First thing.
I think you should lean into something even more. I think you should you should be buying gold now.
Silver.
Yes. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be like, I'm just going to get up there and I'm going to do what Zach Fox always does at interviews when he's not sure how they're going. He's like, you should buy a generator and a gun. Everyone's going to cheer that. I'm going to be like, all of you should buy fucking guns. And they're going to be like, woo! I'm going to be like, that's right. Big guns, small guns, pretty guns, ugly guns.
So you're going to do this at like UMass, right?
No, I'm going to do this at Ohio State.
Their mascot's the fucking Minutemen. Yeah, UMass might be into it.
Yeah.
You're going to do this at Harvard.
Oberlin.
Yeah. I'm going to be like, you should take.
Let's go to Oberlin.
I'm just going to tell them a bunch of shit that I know they'll think is sick. That like, I'll be like, hey, man, you know, you could invest your money in Bitcoin. Boo. Or you could just buy a bunch of Zins. Not that 3 milligram shit. You need to get on it. I need you to be on so much caffeine and nicotine, you can barely decide whether you're alive or not.
Today you graduate from Pepperdine University.
Wow.
You could invest in Bitcoin, or you could bring back the Panera lemonade.
Yeah.
Government won't let you have the Zappy lemonades anymore because
I got some right now in a pickup truck out back.
I've got documents here that said the National Guard didn't know how to control people who were on the Panera Death Lemonade.
You can stand in line for a diploma, or you can follow me to my truck.
Do y'all know how
fuck
long
diplomas.
These were? Do y'all know how long those Panera lemonades were being sold before they became a thing?
At least a year, I think, right?
They've been out for ages.
Yeah. But people had to go on Instagram and brag about how they were having 10 of them and then freak out.
Yeah, I'm just going to get up there and be like, hey, man, I'm going to do every everything that anyone wants to hear, I will 100% tell them. Like, whatever they want me to say, I will do everything for applause lines.
It's a cheap pop. It's a great day to be here in Amherst, Massachusetts.
That's right. Fuck unlike the Yankees.
Unlike those scumbags in Connecticut.
So this brings up the other graduation-related story that's going around at the moment, which has to do with our good friend Ric Flair in Gainesville, Florida. Have you seen this one?
I don't know about this.
Yes, yes.
He was... kicked out of a Paisanos?
Yes. Ric Flair got kicked out. Ric Flair claims he, after dropping $1,500 at a pizza restaurant in Gainesville. 15.
Yeah.
But, buddy, I know pizza restaurants in Florida you can buy Coke at. It doesn't cost that much.
Yeah, Hungry Howie's is everywhere.
Mind you, if for anyone unfamiliar, let's calibrate this based on wrestler lies, such as the other thing Ric Flair says this week, which is that he made $39,000 from being on Amigos song that allegedly made $48 million, according to him. Nobody made $48 million off a fucking Amigos song. So that's the level of truthfulness that we have here when it comes to Ric Flair.
I have to scroll through Ric Flair's timeline to get to it. For some reason, he's calling out Kendrick Perkins for something he said about LeBron James. His pinned tweet is, I'm not even kidding, about a cryptocurrency called WooCoin that he is hawking. All right.
How do we not know about that?
Ric Flair says he spent $1,500 at Paisanos to be disrespected more than I ever have in my entire life. After taking 20 pictures with customers and staff, I was I was asked to leave because of an issue I had with the kitchen manager taking too long in the bathroom.
What?
This means so there was cocaine that needed to be done. Disrespected more than his entire life. This is a man who has had his pants pulled down at TNA wrestling. This is a man who, according to his own allegation, had a heart attack during his retirement match a year ago when he literally couldn't move.
Like, this is like,
and this is the peak of disrespect.
His fifth retirement match.
Yes. To be clear, he retires every 3 years since 2008.
Yes. And then he runs out of money.
And this is the peak humiliation.
I tell you now, with a tear in my eye. I gotta go boom, boom.
Did it knock all the consonants out of him?
So there is video of...
Yes, there's video. Great. The restaurant has said that they have reviewed the video, and it is clear that their team worked in a professional manner to ensure the safety of guests and staff. And they're proud of how they responded, but they have no plans to release the video.
Huh. Well, it's out. So someone did.
Oh, is it?
It's like someone's phone video or something. It's he is hammered. This man is, I don't know, 75 or something.
Yeah.
Completely unkillable. He's tried for decades.
Yeah.
He's just gone just saying shit. And they just keep telling him, like, no, you need to leave.
So congrats to Florida and Ohio State for having completely normal graduation weekends, as always.
Which, if you had to pick two.
Oh, simpatico as always. I'm sorry to say you already missed it. You could have, if you had been paying attention to Ric Flair's Twitter presence back in April. You could have seen him, Mike Tyson, and Pete Rose at the Minnesota Card Show from April 18th to 21st.
What a fucking crew.
Yep. Well, just...
It's just the title is regrets.
They're all... I think they're all in the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
They should be.
So, man, it's...
Who's the one to hang out with there? Of those three. If this is a, like...
Not it.
If this is a, like, death is not an option kind of scenario...
This is fake stomach virus.
In a more just timeline, like... Their fourth is Trump,
I mean, Ric Flair might give me $1,500 worth of pizza. So I think I got to go with him.
With a little something extra sprinkled in, most likely.
As long as I don't use the bathroom, Ric Flair's not going to have a problem with me, apparently.
And was he just adamant about shitting right there?
No, like, the rumor going around is that Ric definitely wanted to get into the bathroom, but not to use it in that sense. That is extremely asterisk allegations, this, that, the other, but that is what is being reported.
I think at very least that's the type of situation where, well, if that's not what he was doing then, it's probably what he was doing the day prior.
There is a timeline where that's what Ric Flair needed just, to use the bathroom
yeah,
for.
Just pick one incident that we don't know about yet and pretend we said that one.
Yeah. This is all making me wish I hadn't skipped all my graduation ceremonies. I didn't know that there was such fun to be had between Bitcoin speeches and Ric Flair pizza fights.
Yeah, they're all like that. I skipped mine too. Did everyone else attend theirs?
Y'all are so lucky. I didn't want to go to mine and was told very forcefully by my mother that graduation ceremonies are not for you, dummy.
That's true.
It's true. They're for
jokes on her. She had to listen to Howard Baker.
They're for cryptocurrency.
Tennessee's just so sad. Do you know where we had ours at Tennessee? And first of all, it's arts and sciences, so it's the biggest school, right? There's like, this is why I laugh when people ask me, like, do you know such and such? They went to Tennessee. There's 7,000 people in my graduating class. And Florida, I know yours was bigger. But we had ours in Thompson Bowling in the basketball arena. But they didn't, I guess they didn't want to damage the wood. So they just had the parquet pulled up, and it was just on the bare concrete floor. It was the saddest.
You know,
Neyland is right. Neyland is right there, and of course that would have been broiling. But we just had it like on the bare concrete floor of the gym. It was so stupid.
So everyone from my class went like into the teeth of a recession for jobs, which apparently limits like if that limits to when I graduated, it's one of only 23 of the last 29 years.
Well, yeah, 1929 was like that.
Yeah, it was. It was harsh. You know, we were graduating and drinking bathtub gin from an actual bathtub. And we toted around that contained the corpse of William Taft. He gave a piquant taste to the liquor. But anyway, the guy who gave the commencement speech was an astronaut, and I remember the guy next to me in the middle of the speech going, "Are we going to have to leave the planet to find a job?" I was like, I think that's the message here is, yeah, you're going to, this dude sucks so bad he couldn't find a job on Earth.
He's like, who's coming with me?
Yeah. Let's go. They have benefits and healthcare on the moon.
Did I ever tell y'all that at the at Tennessee's graduation ceremony, you do not get your diploma?
Is that to like make sure you act right, or is that something else? Or is that like to make sure you finish paying all your books off or whatever?
I'm sure that's in there somewhere, but I think it might primarily be an organizational thing because, again, they don't even try to make you sit in order, right, for 7,000 people. You have a card with your name on it, and you just sit wherever you want, which was cool because, our department got to sit together, and I got to, like, walk across the stage, like, right after my best friend and all that fun stuff, and we got, we all got to sit together during the four fucking hours that it took to read 7,000 names. But you walk into the stage, you hand them your name, they say your name to the mic, and you walk across the stage and you get this little orange cardboard tube, and when you open it up, it's a letter from the Alumni Association welcoming you to the Alumni Association and asking you for money.
That's the good shit.
Oh man. God. Guess who's the commencement speaker at Vanderbilt? David you? Brooks, New York Times columnist.
You know what? That is form meeting function.
Like, kids I love it. It's very funny. I found a list. I don't know how accurate this is. It's very funny looking through. Like, Jennifer Coolidge is speaking at Wash U. That seems great. Wow. That seems fine.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco is speaking at Delaware. Sure. Like, sure. That's the easy go-to, I think. It's like, go but listen, get...
Joe every year.
That Joe Flacco speech, man, that's going to be 2 minutes long. I'll be like, hey, guys, there's snacks in the back.
Uh-huh. Did you know if you work hard enough, you could get gummy bears for life? It's like, damn, that's that. You know what? That's a simple message. And gummy bears retain their value much more consistently than Bitcoin will.
Thanks, Harry Joe.
Like, the range here is, for some reason, Al Gore is doing the commencement speech at UC San Diego. Sure. I don't totally understand that.
It's because they have free food. Hello.
I guess so.
Al Gore seems like the kind of guy who's like, honorarium? Free food?
Yeah, you're probably right.
I will be there.
Jerry Seinfeld, Duke University commencement, May 12th.
Oh, perfect. I love it. I love it. You can't make jokes about Duke anymore.
Like,
these days. Roger
Federer is doing the commencement at Dartmouth.
Did you see the video, the hype video they made for Roger Federer going to Dartmouth? No, is actually really sweet.
I haven't seen that.
Like, the dean or whoever is wearing his sneakers.
That's great.
That's adorable.
Like,
Pat Sajak, commencement speaker at Hillsdale.
Correct.
No notes. No notes whatsoever.
Nope. Yeah, that's sure. correct.
Like, I don't know. Worst I don't think time this is possible. That hard. I feel like the lesson here is, like, get beloved. Like, Steven Jackson is doing Oregon State's. And it's like, cool. Go.
Yeah, there. Like, that's what I was going to say. We need to skew younger. This is like, Steven Jackson's a perfect demo.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know how Ohio State fucked this up so badly, but boy.
I think they taught him everything about how modern life's going to go. You're like, yeah, look at this scammer ass dude. He's up here.
Spellman got Angela Bassett.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God damn it.
What a fucking blowout of Ohio State that is.
Temple got Quinta Brunson. Like, Steve Wozniak is doing Colorado. That seems fine. Like, I don't think that's cracking my top 10, but I'm
Spencer, you did do one this year. Rainn Wilson, Weber State.
Yeah, there you go. See?
David Brooks is not one I want to go to, though. No.
Unless he is drunk and crying.
Ryan, in the rain.
Can it be raining as well?
Ryan, are they having it at the stadium?
No, there's no way they are because it's still deeply under construction.
So you couldn't theoretically stand outside and heckle like with a boombox?
That'd be tempting, but no, I don't think I could.
Hey, is Michael Barbaro doing any of these? I'm just asking.
I'm not. I don't see anybody else from the New York Times. I don't know. A tech reporter, Cecilia Kang, is doing Whitman. But David Brooks is the only other New York Times person. See, nobody wants to hear you talk New York Times.
I'm kind of amazed they let them do this.
Just get out there and tell people things that are absolutely true about life. Feel like no one can stop you from ordering your kid's meal. I'm not telling you that to be frugal. I'm telling you that because I want you to be ungovernable. Mm-hmm. Walk up there. Mm-hmm. Demand a Zaxby's kid meal.
Stedman is doing Ball State.
What?
That's right. The worst on here is has already taken place. Adrian College had Riley Gaines, who just absolutely unnecessary.
I mean, there's some competition there. Tim Scott at Liberty.
That one feels like, you know, we're playing the hits.
Sure, sure. There's definitely a crew of these that are just that you scroll through the list right and there. It's like, ah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but he'd have to read. Right, that's the problem with getting Rittenhouse.
I do think Bernie Sanders is a funny one. New University of New England.
Yeah,
that man's
he'd be so cranky.
Vocal range. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That man blurting.
Imagine Bernie Sanders trying to lead you in song.
I'm having trouble picturing him like without mittens. Like, what does he look like in the summer?
So there are three astronauts on this list.
Hmm.
UNC, Rice, and Northeastern. So it's becoming a trend.
Damn. Again, you had to go to space to find a job. I don't want to hear shit.
Is Bill Barnwell the Northeastern astronaut?
I don't. You know what? Give me Chris Pan over an astronaut, because you know what? He's making it happen down here.
But I thought it's the whole point of Bitcoin was that it's going to the moon. Isn't it the same thing?
Mixed messages, kids. You figure out which is right. So, surprise. College isn't over. Top quiz.
I just want you to be part of this community. Do your own research. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers, commencement speaker. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's basically what Ohio State got, right?
They got less famous Aaron Rodgers, yes.
Yeah.
Like, what if Aaron Rodgers didn't play football?
You got like Darren Rodgers.
Could you talk your way into a commencement speech as Darren Rodgers with people just assuming you were Aaron Rodgers?
I think at Ohio State, maybe you could.
Apparently.
I think that's what we're learning here. With the right amount of like LinkedIn bullshit, you could probably get that to happen. Yeah.
We're on LinkedIn.
We are on LinkedIn.
Yeah. That's step really one is complete.
Shit.
Yeah. We're on our way.
Maybe we start to sneak in. Okay. It's just, you know, it's bowls here and there. Maybe we start to sneak in via like low-key December commencement ceremonies.
Mm, okay.
That's good.
Means, you know, juniors start agitating for us now.
Or like small grad school programs or something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
You won't find anyone cheaper. And folks, if you want to know what's really going to make a difference here, it's the low cost of zero.
Yeah, Spencer spoke at the veterinary medicine graduation ceremony. It's wild. talked about the various animals he could befriend. None of it was backed up by science at all.
No. But there'd be some people naughty, though. I have some vets who are like, you know what? Llamas are like that.
So true. So true.
So true. So true. This man, he's proving that life is the biggest university.
Jesus.
And that learning is a lifelong endeavor. See, if I could get any guy to be a commencement speaker, it would be that coworker of my brother's from West Virginia who would ask him when they were going whoring. Like in the year 2015.
Pardon?
Yeah, he'd be like, so hey, when are we going whoring? He was also the guy who said, you don't want those federal charges. If I could just get him, because he got drunk and drove through a post office. And evidently,
that's an early full cast.
Yeah, hero. I would get that guy.
I didn't know this was that guy.
I'm going to call him Cleet. Cleet. If you're out there, Cleet would be the guy who I think would be, you know, he'd go, you know, you might want to get married once, but yeah, maybe twice. But like by the third one, you know, like it's not for you. Don't do it.
So I'm scrolling Ohio State's past commencement speakers.
Okay, good, good.
We have both George Bush's, John, I forget how to say his name, Boehner, mm-hmm, that guy.
Mm-hmm. Boehner,
yeah. There goes Bill Cosby. It's a crew. It's a...
Who's the best one that you have found?
Neil Armstrong's
okay,
on
sure.
Which again, yeah, follows the trend.
I don't want to hear it. Neil, get a job
what
down
about
here.
Submariners? Are you open to having them? Like in some ways they're furthest from the moon.
I could hear that. Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's really, do you know what that is? That's office work. That's respectable, right?
Ohio State office. Had Jungle Jack Hanna. That's
did he bring animals?
Did he have
I
animals?
Hope so.
The way everyone's eyes lit up around the chat right when Jason's
like imagine
addressed by Jack
imagine
Hanna.
Imagine Jungle Jack Hanna takes to the stage and the sky suddenly darkens as the beating of wings overtakes every other sound you can hear as he summons his animal army.
The actual dream.
Bow,
oh my god.
Bow before Jungle Jack.
I'm reading the transcript of Jack's speech. He says, I don't know, the CEO of the zoo is here, so he'll have to figure out who you are. To all graduates, in all seriousness, if you bring your diploma in the next 2 weeks, we're open. It'll save you $30.
That's news you can use, buddy.
Exactly. This is what we're saying. We want tell these folks who have just gotten in $100,000 worth of debt how to save $30. This is exactly what Spencer's saying.
Hey, man, I was so irritated by the time it came time to graduate Tennessee that I did not purchase a diploma. I don't have one. Can't prove I was there. Except I'm in the graduation program, but let's not talk about
it. I think every single graduation speaker should have Jack Hanna like
on standby
next to him. Yeah, well, yeah, but no, but like the Sandman
like
comes
like
out and clears you off. Like David Brooks is going through his like fourth bromide of like, like you know, the white supremacist sitting next to you. You should reach a hand out to them and hear their ideas. And we're like, nah, cut it. Bring in Jack and the snakes. Bring in Jack and the snakes.
Jack is very much just winging it, reading this transcript. I only have. He says, "What I must say here, folks, is very brief. Only 3 or 4 pages, typed big. By the way, I only have 13 minutes, and I have 12 animals. Anyway, just fucking winging it. This is a great speech.
Tell us about the time you had to spray a bear 4 times because it was so aggressive on the trail, okay. Jack.
So one time on the trail.
Now, those of you might not realize this. This is not a Canadian lynx. Where I live up in northwestern Montana, he's pretty stressed. I'm up there shaking, and this thing's sleeping. Anyway, this is a Siberian lynx. Our Canadian is half as small. I want you to notice he's getting bigger now. He's about half a year and a half old. He'll get a big mane like the African lion. But look at one thing. I know, the camera, Brian, is that way. But I want to show you something. Unlike any cat in the world, I'm so fucking inspired,
man. He's just doing his Tonight Show routine.
That's all it is.
In front of Gretchen. doing?
Yeah. And it's fucking awesome.
Not a rhetorical question. What are you inviting him for if not to
That's true.
I want to give this penguin his diploma. Anyway, that's Punky the Penguin. Those that saw Happy Feet with Robin Williams, this penguin was flown to Los Angeles and got to walk down the red carpet. This is education. This is academia.
Now, here's my question. Do you think he did this speech in graduation robes or in like khaki shorts and a shirt?
Oh, yeah. And in the safari gear. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. The safari gear, it's like a never nude. It just doesn't come off.
Okay, Jack, Everything we just need you to put this. Absolutely not. Not even for the Pope would I change these clothes, brother.
Yeah.
His legs will grow no more in his lifetime. They will be this long. He looks abnormal. Why is that? Because he lives 90% of his life in trees. 90%! Now you look at that coat there. This coat, about 2 years ago in Europe, they found him out selling these coats from about 15 years ago. Guess what one coat was? $80,000.
Is Jungle Jack Hanna advising Ohio State graduates to go into poaching?
Yes. And they'd be
that's all your student loan debt.
They would be so happy. They'd be like, dude, this guy's giving us ideas, plans, stratagems.
This cat is not powerful, everybody. This cat cannot take even a human down, hardly. What does hardly mean, Jack? They can hit you at 70 miles an hour and stun their prey. They stun their prey is what they do. If you look at the foot of the cat, if we can see it. Evidently, there's someone zooming in on parts of all these animals. All right.
So what I need now is Jungle Jack Hanna.
If your school doesn't have a graduation speech, just play this portion of Jason's.
Let's say the zebra and the antelope are out there eating, right? Just having a good time. And they see the cheetah. It is the heat of the day. They're not hunted because they think at nighttime. All of a sudden, the zebra goes, oh, they're just baby cheetahs, not knowing she is sitting over there.
So what I'm hearing, by the way, is that this man could totally sell me on cryptocurrency. Like if in the middle of all of this, he was like, pangolin Spencer. Coin. I'd be like, in. I'm so Spencer, totally in on pangolin
small
coin.
Group of people.
It's true.
I'm not seeing Jack Hanna cryptocurrency. So.
I don't know how many times you've had a cheetah in a graduation, and I probably won't be coming back, so probably never again. Have you ever had one here? No, probably not. I'm almost finished. I had 13 minutes.
Probably not.
And you know Ric Flair would be in the audience being like, whoa, greatest graduation I've ever been to.
I'm so disrespected by that manatee that Jungle Jack brought out.
Like, why does graduation have to be a speech? Why can't it? Why couldn't we get like, all right.
Why can't it be a dance?
Why can't it be animal presentation?
I'm absolutely certain someone has painted a waterfall mural and called that a
commencement
speech.
Why can't it be a wrestling match? Why can't it just be like, we have two wrestlers here. We're just it's not a whole thing. We're just going to do one match. Why can't it be an ice skating performance? Why can't it be a tug of war between professors or something? It doesn't have to be a speech. People can be inspired by other things.
It actually should be. It should be like field day in elementary school, and everyone should have to go through feats of strength.
Yes,
like egg carrying races on a spoon.
Yeah,
like Holly, how proud would you be if Tennessee's commencement performer was Bianca Belair, just doing cool stuff?
Compared to the distance between who we had, which was among other things Ronald Reagan's chief of staff. Yeah.
Like, what if you got to walk across the stage while somebody was doing sick motocross tricks?
No. There. That's a reason to do it in Neyland.
Right.
Tony, Tony Hawk commencement speech.
Who was the commencement speaker at your graduation? Grave Digger. That's who it was. Fucking Grave Digger.
Steve-O.
Redeemer. Steve-O would be, listen, do you want to know who's got real life lessons to teach you, friends?
Yeah.
It's Steve-O. A truly inspirational person.
Yeah. Do you want to fucking know who is going to tell you things that will keep you out of trouble? It will be Steve-O will be like, hey, everybody here, I'm going to staple my nuts to my leg. But first, I need to make sure. Don't ever get addicted to the poppers. Don't.
All right.
And now some shit that's so weird, even Johnny Knoxville would not let me do it.
All right. I'm starting the movement now. Steve-O for 2025 Ohio State commencement speaker.
Steve-O-H. Ohio State, I know how this sounds, but we're trying to help you. This doesn't happen a lot.
Oh, yeah. It'd be huge improvement.
again, I don't really see the problem. I think they learned a lot of things that they're, they learned a lot of things from Chris Pan.
Mm-hmm.
Kept their mind open.
Mm-hmm.
Sang a song or two. Learned mm-hmm. that adulthood is an illusion, a falsehood. And that scamming will get you. Scamming will definitely get you somewhere.
It'll get you a commencement speaking gig at Ohio State.
I have a story to share with you.
Oh, Jesus.
It's from the Intelligencer. Okay. And it's a story called The Package King of Miami. And The Package King of Miami is basically this kid who went to the U, who was in profile. He's from Darien, Connecticut. A lot of people in this profile are like, you know, we thought he would go to an Ivy, but for some reason he went to the U. And then he immediately started posting on Instagram about how he was hanging out in Dubai, which he was, and had this jet-setting Miami lifestyle, which he did, and was all the time running an elaborate multi-million-dollar return scam against, among other people, Holly, UPS.
So good. An ally.
Kind of a hero story, really. But I wanted to share this passage, which was, according to Frommer, the recent graduate had a class with Bergwall. Students at UM were generally impressed by his entrepreneurial moxie. Frommer summarized the group, the collective reaction as, so yeah, he's a scammer, but good for him. He added, this type of fraud at that high a level obviously would have come from UM. I'm doing the U so fucking hard right now.
I only am hearing pragmatism.
Yeah.
I like that, you know, we have linebacker U and tight end U and this, that, the DBU. I think that high level fraud U is unquestionably Miami and everyone else is just playing for second place at this point.
That the classmates were like, yeah, he's a scammer, but dude, have you seen his Instagram account?
Worth it.
Listen, Miami students, I feel like Miami students have to learn. I mean, I think even Miami students in a normal year learn one of life's most important lessons earlier probably than just about anybody else, which is that it's always better to have a friend with a boat than to have a boat.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. Plus, that may be the truest thing ever said on this podcast.
The best way to not get scammed is to know all the scammers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you go to some other college, like you might have scammers as well, but they're hiding. They're being sneaky about it. But a Miami scammer's out here on fucking Front Street, like letting you know, like, hey, scam this way.
Yeah, and hard. They're like, yo, dude, he scams so hard.
It's like, I think he's scamming so hard that it might be legit, which is not true. But that is how they try to get you.
Bro, he scammed himself into legality. It's amazing.
He scammed all the way back around. If you can sort of sell that you yourself scammed yourself, right? Like mm-hmm. if you've conquered yourself, if you fell for your own shit, right?
Right.
Yeah. The Miami way. I mean, that explains, you know, some of their football decisions, of their coaching decisions, right?
It's not fraud if you think it's awesome.
There's a lot of 11-dimensional chess going on at the end of games last year. I think we're seeing something.
Shouldn't you take a knee? Bro, it's a scam.
But if I don't, when I should... Yeah. Then
you gotta keep that shit going.
They'll never see that coming. That's how you zag on the market, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how you short the market.
You know,
of time.
Like, yeah,
that's who I'm shorting. Existence. The concept of time, the appearance, the illusion of time.
Hold on, Ric Flair's in my bathroom.
Daddy needs to go boom boom.
God damn, dude.
Poo poo a euphemism, sir. Pretty sure it is. British, you have not shat in 35 years, and everyone knows it. You have not eaten any food in 35 years.
Woo! Pills!
You're, oh wow.
What a missed opportunity for the Bobby Petrino era. How did we never hit Woo Pills Suey?
That is a shame.
Give it time. It's still the Bobby Petrino era. That's true.
Oh, God. I keep forgetting about
still
that.
Still is, baby.
We are so back.
Oh. Hey, speaking of back, can we hit a little podcast business?
In the style of Graduation.
Jaguar noises. That's who should do in Gainesville. It should be the Jaguars mascot. It does come in. I'm going to fucking set myself on fire. Now go fuck up the world.
You're going to go 3-9 in life.
So speaking of, we opened this episode by talking about cars. Yeah. Huh? Huh? Because we knew all along what we were going to circle back to. Yeah, that's right.
You, not us, you, listener, can catch the internet's only college football podcast live, technically, in Indianapolis, Indiana, on Friday, May 24th. There is a link for tickets for sale available on our, quote, our website, which is preownedairboats.com. There are a couple other announcements on there for shows that we have announced that are not yet on sale but are happening. Those would be in Portland, Oregon, at the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry on Friday, July 26th. I am laughing because of what that show is going to entail. I cannot wait. We are also doing a festival with our friends Hand in the Dirt in Raleigh, North Carolina, on Saturday, August 24th. That is week zero. Tickets for that go on sale May 25th. There is an additional slight detour happening. We have a very crowded summer. We have another year of Michigan winning the Charity Bowl. We wanted to do something to say thank you. So the day after the Indianapolis show, that would be Saturday, May 25th. That is the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend. There is going to be a teensy weensy little Channel 6 meetup. Spencer and I are going up to Ann Arbor after the Indianapolis show. We're going to be at our favorite place in all of Michigan, the Ann Arbor Downtown Library. In the lobby, there's a stage and everything. Spencer and I will be on it. There will be a couple of Michigan-specific special guests. We have a fairly loose agenda planned for the evening. We just wanted to come say hi and hang out with y'all while we were in the area. We have some history-themed trivia planned because we are in Michigan. We will have Jane Costin's face on an iPad because she selfishly will be overseas at a wedding. This is a free event. You don't need a ticket. We're going to send out an email to the donor list here this week just so we can get an RSVP and a vague head count. But turn on up. It's going to be Saturday night, Saturday of Memorial Day weekend. That is May 25th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Ann Arbor Downtown Library, our very, very favorite place. This feels like a very, very poor way of repaying you guys for the Michigan Million this year. We're going to try and do something else during football season, something a little more special. But for now, we just wanted to come and wave and hang out with our donors and say thank you for another absolutely spectacular year of fundraising.
Saturday night at the library.
On a holiday weekend.
The most Michigan.
This is the only team we can trust to turn up for this. Nerds, come commune with us. We love you. That's all the business I got.
The one other,
Jason, you're signing a book.
Well, the one other fun factor too about the Indianapolis show, along with your ticket, you get food, and you get home field stuff. This is not merely a show. You're getting a full evening of all your needs being pampered and taken care of. And the ticket count, I don't know up to this moment, but last I heard, only about 70 tickets remain. So don't delay, folks. That's Indianapolis.
Indiana.
Additional business?
The Midwest.
United States of America.
Part of the Big Ten Conference. United States of America is part of the Big Ten Conference.
That's right.
It just expanded. It added something in Vancouver.
Earth.
Not the moon. Not space where lazy people go to get jobs.
Yeah. Losers.
Big Ten has yet to expand out there.
Why? You know who has a job on Earth? Jack Hanna.